Well, Nick, we've been talking about doing something like this for a while, and I'm Dr. G. This is Nick, and I'm a Beverly Hills shrink. I work with entertainment people, and obviously, I look when you see me, the first thing you think is this dude's a rapper fan. But I know some rappers, I know a lot of different people, and I've been doing for 30 years counseling and therapy in Beverly Hills. I kind of enjoy doing it. I work with a lot of entertainment folks, but I also work with international business people, etc. And one of the things we've talked about doing was to kind of open the door up for people that want to chat and talk. And Nick has been helping me get this stuff set up, and he's sort of the showrunner, shall we say, for the program, plus the host, plus everything else that goes with it, the tech support. So this one's kind of just a sample right now to make sure that we get the stuff in, how it's going to go, how it's going to work. Yeah, obviously I have no problem talking forever, so occasionally I'll say, "Hey Nick, what do you think?" But I'm interested in this. The world's in an odd spot right now, and it hasn't been this bad in 50, 75 years, maybe 80 years. And I have a lot of people talking about a lot of things. We all have issues that we bring to the table. We have issues that are concerns. And I'd like to be able to make a situation for you, and you, all of you, to be able to come and visit and chat. Kind of an open, open resource. If you have something special you want to vent about, talk about, chat about. It would be a great place to do this. And, we'd rely a lot on your input too. I don't have any answers, okay? I have suggestions. I do domestic violence batterers programs for the courts. And a lot of times people are asking me, how do I stop this problem? How do I do that problem? And, oh, I'm this relationship. What should I have said to her? What should he have said to me? And they kind of put the onus back on my shoulders. And I tell them, I don't have any perfect answers. I'm not you. I'm not living with the person you're living with. I'm not living in your life. I can give you some suggestions. I tell people all the time, I teach up at Mount St. Mary's University part-time. I'm an adjunct faculty there in criminal justice and sociology. And the students are waiting for answers for everything. And I tell them, the best I can do is help them learn how to think, learn how to sort, learn how to look, learn how to figure out what to do for themselves. I can give you suggestions. I say my PhD stands for piled higher and deeper, but it doesn't mean I know everything. Okay? And I get tired of people that feel they know everything, because they don't. As they said in the little play 13, when the kid becomes an adult, it's a Jewish. About a Jewish boy that goes to his bar mitzvah, and he says, "Okay, I'm 13." He looks at the audience and says, "Wow, now you all, I am an adult, so I'm supposed to be in a new step in life." And he said, "But I don't know everything yet." And then he turned, and I love the wording. He said, "We all have a little more homework to do." So here, between Nick and myself, we want to open the door up for some of you. Some of you, not everyone wants to do this, I understand. And some of you are going to be annoying as hell, and I don't want to talk to you, but that's okay. But we're going to try to open it up so that you can have some access to things and you can chat. And as they say, I'm not trying to change philosophies, religions. I'm not trying to change any of those things. I'm just opening it up for you to be able to say, "Hey, can we talk?" And we can open things up.
Yeah, basically, we will set up the inquiry form, and you will be able to put your questions, topics to talk about, and we will figure this out on the go. And also, I think we will choose the topic for the next episodes, right? And just talk about it. And it happened that today is Jim's birthday, and it's kind of happened to come together that we're filming this first episode and it is your birthday. So how do you feel about that? And
It's interesting you say that, Dr. Nick. Now, that, yeah, whether you like astrology or whatever, it's not a big thing normally in my life, but I do see things that go well. Ironically, I'm an old guy, okay, and when I see certain things happen, and at the restaurant at lunchtime today, my friend bought me lunch, and she said, oh, it's $46, blah, 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 blah. And I said, oh, amazing. The year I was born was 1946. Mm-hmm. So she got, her name's Marie, and she's helped me for 35 years as my housekeeper and whatever. And she's like, oh my God, there's something in sync here. Other things too, you know, I'll get into something, and we were just talking about a price for the book, and we came up with 1010. I live at 1010, the street number. I think those sorts of things happen. We don't know what influences you, and whatever works for you. For some people, it's totally religion. Some people, it's totally the astronomy. Some people, it's totally, you know, I get in trouble because people are like, you know, if you were vegetarian, things would be great. And I remind people, okay, I'm vegetarian, but I like beef. And they're like, you can't be and be a vegetarian. I said, I can, because cows are vegetarians. So if I eat a cow, I'm eating a vegetarian. Doesn't that count? We do whatever we have to do. But we can come out with rationalizations. When they call, this is the old-fashioned phone, by the way. When somebody calls me from my domestic violence group, and particularly the men are more difficult than the women, the man calls up and says, hey, you got to understand, I've never been angry a day in my life. It's not my fault. It's her fault. It's the cop's fault. It's the fact that the laws have changed. So a lot of things change, okay? Currently, we want to kind of make things very rigid and frigid. And if we did, nobody would have ever come to the United States. I mean, if you want to live within a realm, you go to a different country where they stick with their original values and the original whatevers. Because I have guys in the group. One of the gentlemen in my group one day, oh my God, you know, he should have been elected God years ago in his mind. But he lives up in Montana now, and he's an older guy. And he said, you know, he said, everybody knows what's right and everybody knows what's wrong. And I said, how do you know that? And he said, well, he said, I've read the right books. And I said, how do you know they were the right books? And he said, well, everybody knows what the right books are.
Yeah, it's like echo chamber, right? Yeah. Everybody knows what the right book in his area and in his like circles.
But and, you know, if
you don't look outside, then you will be in this loop, feedback loop of the same stuff.
And true, dude, because in my criminal justice classes and my sociology and psychotherapy classes, I remind people always look outside the box. Look beyond the obvious. Because like if you're a cop and I'm teaching them how to deal with situations there, when you walk into a setting, you better look around because somebody might have a gun over there. You know, domestic violence is one of the ones that most cops don't like to go to. Because if you're going to a robbery, you know, a store robbery, okay, and you go inside and they say, the guy just ran out the door, he was the one in the red jacket, got in the black car and took off, you know he's the one you have to worry about as a cop. But you walk into the house. When I did the original training at the Sheriff's Academy, I did one of their videos 25 years ago, and I didn't make it. I tried it out and tested it. And you knock, knock, knock. That video, you walk up, knock, knock, knock on the door, and the person opens the door. It's a woman, and she's got two little kids behind her. And she said, oh, my God, my husband's threatening us with a gun. He just, you know, ran down the hallway over there. And then a gray-haired lady comes up. And she's like, oh my God, yes, get him, get him, get him. Now, I know that one of the things that a cop has to think about, in my case, sheriffs, but it thinks about is when I go down the hallway, do I kick the door in? But then if he's got the gun ready to shoot, I'm going to get killed. Do I knock on the door and hope he doesn't shoot me? What do I do? Okay. So I try to talk him down to get him to come out of the door. So we can do this. You know, look, dude, this would be better. And so in the meantime, you're thinking of all this crap, all right? And then Then, in this video, you're walking back out of the long hallway. Oh yeah, in the beginning, the woman said, you know, down that hallway are the four bedrooms and a bath. Down this hallway the other way is our rec room and our garage and the laundry room. So you're coming back out of the hallway, and boom, out of the one hallway comes Grandma, who's got a rifle.
Mm.
And you're the first person she sees. And she's thinking it's the guy, and she shoots you. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, there was one recently, too, where the people called in, and they had an upstairs two-floor house. And as the cops arrived at in the driveway, the guy was upstairs shooting out of the second floor and killed one of the deputies. So, look beyond the obvious. You have to look. Is it okay? Is it safe? Should I look down the dark hallway? Should I go this way? Should I go that way? That's why some people are better drivers, because if you're used to looking around and noticing things, it helps. You know, I know I've said to Nick here, one of my ways of testing new friends, particularly when I bring somebody from another state or another country, I take them up to my university on the hill in Brentwood. And particularly at night when it's nice and clear and beautiful out, and I'm like, you know, there's stars and you can see downtown, you can see whatever. And I watch to see if the person's busy looking on their phone rather than looking at the stars and looking at the beauty and looking out at the ocean. During the day, you can see the ocean, you can see Catalina Island, you can see downtown. But if they're busy on their phone, they're not somebody I want to hang out with.
Yeah, that's true. And it leads us to another problem of modern times, right? People staring at the screens all day. And I've read recently that many spend like 6 to 8 hours a day sitting in the phones, like scrolling through the reels, scrolling through the, like watching YouTube. YouTube also has the stuff like reels right now as well. So it is kind of real problem, and it is real addiction as well, because people can't stop. They try to stop, and they kind of like, it's all over the internet. People telling they can't stop using it. They want to stop, but just can't, like hands picking up the phone and scrolling instead of them, and just wasting their life in the screen.
Yes, because one of the things, you know, if you're just getting rolling on driving, okay, because you weren't driving in Europe, and one of the things you have to remember is that when somebody's standing at the corner getting ready to cross the street, if they got the phone in their hand, that's something I look for all the time. If I see them standing there waiting for the light to change, and they're looking up to see if the light changes, but they're on the phone, and I'm over here, and I could go through the light, I'm nervous, because I know they're probably going to take the step immediately. Or if I'm at the corner, happened in Beverly Hills the other day, I was getting ready to turn right, and this person was waiting for the light to change, and I started to turn the corner before the light changed, because we can turn on red, and boom, person stepped down. They were not paying any attention to the cars.
Yeah.
They were only paying attention to what was on their phone.
Yeah, it's another problem. And while you're driving, I see lots of people watching into the phone while driving. You notice that now you need to honk on the turns all
the
time, because somebody,
wake up, bitch,
in front of you just got frozen into the screen. So yeah, it's a real problem, and like there are even solutions as put your phone into black and white mode. For example, my Instagram, if I open it, my phone will turn black and white immediately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's one of the like guards that I use to stop mindlessly scrolling into it, because I can't control it. I also have like notifications to remind me how much time I spent, and I have limits of like 30-40 minutes for Instagram, for threads, you know, all the algorithm and feed based stuff, because it is kind of composed in the way to keep you engaged into it all the time. So yeah,
and it does things we never would have been involved in. I wouldn't argue that. And You know, I'm an old guy, and I used to travel. I had a tour company back in the 80s, and like one summer I took a youth group choir across the country, and they're one of the family, well, I won't get into the groups that they belong to, but they were really good singers, and we left California, ended up going to New York City eventually and working our way back. And in those days, my personal phone and my office phone, we didn't even, there'd be voicemails on them. We did have that much. We're new enough to have voicemails. But I couldn't check the voicemail when I was there on the road. Mm. You know, now you can do that in 2 seconds. And so I remember on that trip, I couldn't wait to come back and hit the buttons and listen to the voicemails. In fact, I had a very depressing one. I've got PTSD because I've worked with terminally ill patients. I told 3,800 people they had AIDS back in the 1985 to 90s and a number of other situations. So when I say PTSD, it just hit me as you said that, because I remember hitting the button when I came back from that trip, and there was a message, and it was like, hey Jim, this is Barry. I'm up in San Francisco, and I need your help. I need your help. Hung up. And I'll call you back. Next, you know, a little while later, there was another message in the middle of the messages. Hey, it's Barry. I'm still in trouble up here. I really don't know what I'm going to do. I'm trying to work out on rehab and get things going and clean up. But he said, I need your help. Please call me. Here's the phone number. And didn't hear from him. And then about an hour listening to the video, you know, to the machine, probably four calls later, hey Jim, I'm in the phone booth here. Oh my God, here's the phone number at the phone booth. And yep, these guys are coming to get me. Yeah, I all I need is $50 to get them off my back. And then I hear gunshots, glass breaking, because in those days phone booths were in glass breaking, and he was gone. And I never did find out.
Yeah, that's something that can give you
you know, a
traumatic experience.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, we do things, and but this is where, yes, when we do the phones, we focus. You know, a lot of people don't. You know, AI is driving me a little crazy. There was a day when I used to do voiceovers for. I was the voice of Goodwill Industries for about 10 years on the West Coast for their phone service, you know. Mm-hmm. You'd call up, hi, thank you for calling Goodwill Industries. Your phone call or your donations provide jobs, hopes, and futures. Well, now AI does everything. There's even AI therapy, okay?
Yeah, but now people don't like it because it makes them psychotic, you know.
Not all. But see, those that want to hear it being bland, okay, it's safe for them, because what you said. But we're also having problems because a lot of kids are calling in with AI things and coming up with answers that, you know, why aren't you people? You know, you're my parents. Why aren't you the way AI said that they were supposed to be? And AI is kind of geared towards what you want.
Yeah, it's like a reflection. It's a mirror, right?
Yes. Yeah, one of my friends. He's from France, and he did some tour books, travel guides, etc., for a number of locations. And I don't know, we'll pick one, but for the Caribbean, what would be a city in the Caribbean? I can't think of. But all right, let's jump ahead and go to Miami, yeah. Florida. Okay, so he's doing one for people coming to Miami, Florida. And I said, but have you been to Miami or any of these? Oh, no. He said, I just ask AI. And I said, but how do you know what the people want to see? He said, well, that's easy. I just tell them, you know, what would a woman who arrives in Miami who's single want to see? And AI will tell exactly what places she might want to go to, okay? Mm-hmm. Which would be different than, you know, hi, you know, this is for a man who's desperate.
Yeah.
And looking for a good drink and maybe a good massage with happy endings. And boom, we'll give them that. Yeah. And, you know, this is, life's difficult at times. I've got the t-shirt on today. Life is, hold on, one of my favorite things. There we go. Life is too short to be normal. Okay.
That's a good one.
And I have t-shirts with a lot of things on them. And I usually wear them around in the groups and that. But I also just finished, if you're really bored, check my TikTok site out. I just finished one about, the smarter you are, the more chances you have of having emotional problems.
Yeah.
Because really dumb people don't see things.
Yeah, we talked about it.
You know, right. We did. And we've talked about it before. And I did a whole TikTok thing about it too. Because if you don't sense things, you don't pick it up. You know, we're sitting here and whatever. You're looking at, you know, the background here. Yes, I'm smart enough to have some sound absorbing stuff. Oh, we didn't put the panel in. And you can tell, you know, that I've got at least one of my accolades up here. At my office, this is my condo office. At my personal office, I've got plaques from everything I've earned and, you know, from things I've done. You know, when I attended Reagan's funeral, I got a little plaque that I was there. When I, you know, did this, did that, did another thing, we got all these little things going. And so, you know, people will look, oh, okay, so you went to school here, you went to school there. When you go to a doctor's office or whatever, you usually don't worry about those things when you go anywhere else, okay? But, yeah, we get to know people, and so you notice what's going on. You notice, I like black, okay? Yep, I like black, all right? And he's got black on too. But part of that is because I don't like gaudy stuff. I'm one of seven people in the world, probably, that has no great interest in heading off to China or to Thailand where everything's in gold. Oh, my God. You know, I can go to Japan. That's cool. I mean, I had a Rolex watch. I don't wear watches anymore. I had a Rolex watch, and people were like, why did you get the brushed chrome one? I said, because I didn't want a gold Rolex. To me, that was pushing it too hard, okay? You know, we have different things we need to do for ourselves. But, yeah, the smarter you are, the more you're going to notice things, the more you're going to think. If you really get bored, go to my bhcounseling.com or shrink.com, the same website, shrink, shrinkg.com. And by the way, I've been using Shrink since before Shrinking the TV show did. And if you know anybody on Shrinking, have them give me a shout. I'd be glad to talk to them because I've got a book out that has stories about all my types of clients, and I could give them some help. I also have a license plate that's Shrink G. And how did I come up with Shrink G? I didn't. When I was living with somebody who was an actor a number of years ago, and this was back in the 1800s, it seems now, when internet was by phone, okay? You know, you'd AOL with internet, and you'd dial it up in the morning, and you hear the whizz, 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 you know, take forever for it to, you know, internet was strictly by the phone line. And I'd come out in the morning, and I'd dial in. By the time I got my shower, brushed my teeth, did everything, and came out, then we were on the internet. And they weren't very strong. But at that time, AOL and what were some of the others? I can't think of them right now, but that had the internet emails, okay?
Yahoo, I guess it was also
popular. Yahoo, and there was another one. That really goes back to the 1800s. So my friend that was staying here at the time, who happened to be deaf, he was a deaf actor, and I remember that's where I learned about some of the looking around the obvious. But he said, okay, we got to make you up an email address. And so later in the day, he came back and said, I gave up. He said, I tried Jim G, JG, JBG, blah, blah, blah. And he said, none of it worked. And he said, you're a shrink. So he said, I put it in as Shrink G. And that was, you know, amazing. And somebody that's doing a shrinking, the TV show Shrinking, that's doing a TV show fan website or on Instagram, Fam Show thing on Instagram, I thought, oh, maybe, good, maybe they know something about me. And so I contacted that site and I said, oh, so are you in the Beverly Hills area? Have you seen me riding around or whatever in my car? And they're like, it turns out, no, I don't know how she got that ad, my picture of my license plate, but she did. And she's in the Far East. So I have to ask her how she got that thing up there. But, you know.
So they posted it on their social media, like your actual.
Yeah, somebody posted, but I don't. And the Instagram person is using it now as her, kind of her logo.
Oh, that's funny.
And I thought that, well, she probably saw me in town, you know.
I guess somebody just made a pic and sent
to them. They must have. Yeah. Somebody must have asked about it, because I hadn't posted it myself. As I say, I met Michael Urie, who was in Shrinking. As I say, I would love to be involved. They say I'm right there in town. And I've worked with high-end people. I've worked with celebrities. I've worked with actors, musicians. I said, I've had two people. How many of you have had two people murder somebody that you worked with? Okay. I don't see any yeses. But I had two people have finished my group who murdered somebody. Okay. I had four people in the group, and we're talking domestic violence and anger management, who murdered somebody. But the other two, they don't count, because they only signed up for the program, came once, and I never saw them. But the ones that finished the 2 weeks really bothered me, okay? Finished the 52 weeks. And I thought, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? But I remember saying to the one, as he finished up, he was a young musician. He came from the Midwest. He came from a family that was like, Larry, just come on back and work with us. You're going to be happy. You know, you could work on the farm. You've got jobs for you. You've got a career. Everything will be wonderful. And he didn't want to. He wanted to be a musician. And if you don't know, people originally used to come to something called the United States. You know, unless you are a Native American Indian heritage or over on the south side, southwest side, if you were part of the Latinos that we pushed back over the border, you're an immigrant in the United States. Trust me, okay? I'm an immigrant. My grandfather, great-grandfather came from Austro-Hungary. He married a Russian woman, came here in 1900. My father's side of the family came in the 1800s, and they came here from Scotland. But you know what? Why do you think they came here? They came here because they wanted to get rid of the regular routine that they were used to in their own countries. Because there are countries and cultures that you do what you're supposed to do. One of the guys in my group, you know, one day he's from Egypt. He's a doctor. He's a medical doctor. And he came from Egypt. And he got busted for domestic violence. And he said, I can't believe it. He said, I'm a doctor. I was at the top of my school. I did a really good job. And he said, you know, he said, I feel like a failure that I got busted for domestic violence. And he said, my family was mad at me because they said, we picked your wife out. And he said, you know what? I didn't meet my wife until 2 weeks before I married, which if you don't know, Middle Eastern cultures and many cultures do that. And he said, when we started having problems and I said, I'm thinking of getting divorced, they're like, no, no, no. Both families sat down and we decided you two belong together. Don't you dare leave or you're going to rot in hell. And guess what? Didn't work. So Larry, going back to Larry, one of the ones that killed somebody, he came here because in our country, most people started on the East Coast, some from South, but in the early days, 1700s, 1800s, when I was really little, you came in on over there by where the Mayflower came in, and then you work your way from there. And people came here to find themselves. And then people in the United States that wanted to try something new, they would try other areas. And California, particularly Southern California and San Francisco, became two of the big spots to go if you wanted to do music, if you wanted to do acting, if you were gay, if you wanted to try weird politics, okay? We have everything here, you know, almost every little group. Larry came out to be a musician. He wasn't strict and rigid like mom and dad wanted him to be. It was a problem. And he was doing okay, but he had the drug problem when he got busted for the drugs. Well, guess what? When he finished, I'm not in my office, but if I was there, I'd show you my desk or my couch behind me that I sit in front of all the time when I do recording there. And I said, Larry was sitting at the end of that couch the last day after 52 weeks. And I said, Larry, you've done great. You've grown a lot. You and your girlfriend are doing wonderfully. But I said, you know, Larry, if you can stay sober, you're going to do okay. You're going to really make it. Well, 5 years later or 4.5 years later, one of my interns said, well, guess what? One of your people murdered somebody. And you know what happened? In the back of your head, a lot of things you hear that you don't think you hear, they are there. Okay, they are there, like I mentioned before, yeah. One of the things that hit me. And sure enough, Larry was raised by his mom and her sister because his father walked out. They didn't plan on having the baby. So the father walked out when he was born, wouldn't have anything to do with him. And so his mom had to raise him, but she also had to work. So she brought her sister in to help take care of him. And since he was going to be a musician and they lived in the Midwest, he was rebellious and he was like, I don't want to just do what everyone does here. I want to go out and do music. And sure enough, 5 years later, his girlfriend, who he loved and they'd still been living together, said something. They were wasted off their asses, both of them. And she said something that his mother used to yell at him. And that's what he heard in his mind. And he went over and strangled her and held her for 4 minutes, according to the coroner. And when the cops came in, they said he was sitting there crying because he realized he didn't kill his mother.
Mm. He killed his girlfriend. The state of affect, it's called, right? When he just realized after the end.
Yeah.
It's like people who are addicted to substances, they experience it a lot as well. Because I guess it's connected to limbic system in the brain, right? Because you don't actually kind of realize what's going on. And it's like older part of the brain which knows only like to protect yourself or run, like fight or flight, it's called, right?
Yeah, and I also use another example, Nick, along that line. By all means, everything you've gone through, everything, I mean, when you're born, you don't have any resistance to a whole lot of stuff, okay? Next time I'll tell you about my person that I know that had baby born, where mom and dad were both doing all sorts of drugs, which is another story. That kid's going to be in for trouble. But when you're born, you have to build up a natural a defense. You have to build up an immunity, okay? And this is why we're careful taking care of little babies. This is why we're careful taking care of people. For instance, if they've had chemo and heavy, you know, situations,
yeah. It
takes a while to build that back up. What the hell's a flu shot for? You know, we're trying to build up a resistance to something that we haven't been exposed to lately. So yes, in the back of your mind, as well as your body, you're going to find things, that are there that you never knew. And they'll start coming out little by little later. And this is what therapy is about, is that when I sit there, I had one of the women in the group the other day, she said, yeah, my parents used to fight all the time. And she said, I never worried too much about it because she said they would fight. I mean, they'd yell at each other, they'd slap each other. And she said, my brothers and I were like, oh God, you know, and we were waiting the next morning to find that one of them was dead, okay? And she said, but I said, well, you know, do you remember as a little kid? Oh, I don't remember anything before I was six.
Mm.
I tuned that out. And I said, but I think you do. And that's when she started talking and realized, well, yeah, we'd hear the crashing and the banging, but we just, you know, we handled it by going in another room and hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And hiding doesn't always solve the problem, okay? There's times when you have to step back. You know, I'm always telling people sometimes in your life, throw the car and park. Oops, there it is, parked. And stop for a minute, get out and think about it and reflect. But then at the same time, this is where I started to say before about checking out shrinkg.com and bhcounseling.com. Go down on the bottom where it says inspirational links and go to some of those. And there's something in there called the Hour of the Wolf. And the hour of the wolf is that time in the morning between what we call the end of night and the beginning of day. From night to dawn, whatever, wherever you are, but say basically 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. If you wake up at that time, you don't go back into your deep sleep. You often lay there and you think. And you think. And you think. And things you never thought about come up. And, you know, you're mad at yourself. I mean, I don't have the poem. I'll read it next time for you. But, you know, in the poem it says you're mad at yourself for bad things, but you're also proud of the great things you've done. You think of the good. You think of the bad. And you finally get worn out. And there's really nobody at 3 in the morning who's going to listen to you. Okay? You know, you can't always call somebody at 3 and say, hey, what do you think of this? Okay?
You know, you can utilize time zone, different time zones in modern time.
Oh, yeah.
You can always call somebody from, like, another part of the world.
But you, and nowadays you can, before. Right. Yeah, no, because when I'm in France, that's a 9-hour time difference. And it's really nice because I can call some people. And so, folks, as you can see, the mind runs. There's a lot of, oh, my God, you know, a lot of things. I'll tell you about the story of the one lady that, when she was 84, said to me something about her daughter saying something on TV that, you know, I was mad at my mother for this and this. And my friend said, you know, we have to get over that. She said, when I was 8 years old, my mother looked at me and said, don't you ever act up like that. You need to be good. We never planned on having you. We had two girls a year apart, and then you showed up 8 years later. You are the reason we had to leave the Catholic Church. I hope you appreciate that.
Crazy.
So don't give me a bad time. And then my friend said, but see, that doesn't bother me. And I said, motherfucker, if you're sitting there 80 years later and you remember it, bothers you.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's like in the book, The Body Keeps the Score, right? It's called... It explains lot about this stuff, like how you can suppress your memories, but your body still remember. And sometimes you kind of feel something and you don't understand like what's going on. And that's exactly what's going on. Like your body remember the kind of the trigger that happened.
But this is where I pick up the computer idea too, when you were saying before, computers get so much stuff stuck in the back that you don't even know you had.
Yeah.
Okay. And it gets overwhelmed where we finally throw it out. Okay. We can't throw our brain out.
Yeah.
You know, your brain is like the computer. I can't reach it. It's way up. I have a backup hard drive here for some of the stuff. And we can't do that with our brain. Okay. It's all there still. What's your first trauma? You know, and we'll talk about this crap later too, but what's your first trauma that you met? Your first impact was when you got shoved out of your mother.
Mm.
How many fucking times have I said, it's useful language? Well, forget it. The language goes that way. If you had your iPhone in your womb, in your mom, okay, and you go to the AI app, what your life is going to be like, many of you would stay in the womb. Your mom may not like it when you're 35 and you're a little big. But what happens, that first trauma, the first thing that happens is getting shoved out. In fact, if you get shoved out and the doctor slaps you to make sure you're awake and with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's deep. Okay, I guess it's...
We ready to wrap?
It's good for the first episode,